So in order to be free, we have to be individuals that really allow God to touch our weaknesses. We thrive in our strengths, but when it comes to our weaknesses, it's that thing where we as individuals don't like being open and bare, because in order for you to be able to touch my weakness, that means that I have to show you my sores, right? What's coming to mind now, it's, for instance, if you went to a doctor or you went to the emergency room because you had some type of just dire need, like you had these sores over your body or these areas in your that you needed healing in. And so you go to the emergency room or you go to your doctor, and your doctor, first thing your doctor is going to do is ask you about the pain, but then they're going to say, let me see. And many of us don't like people seeing what hurts.
Right.
Because if you see what hurts me, then at that moment, I have become vulnerable to you. So because we have throughout life, we have had individuals that when we were, you know, sharing our vulnerabilities or our weaknesses or these things that were sores in our life, people have not always been gentle with us. They have not always been compassionate to us. And so what we began to do is build up these walls. And so as we begin to build these walls up, these walls have this do not touch sign on it. And so I'm not going to show you this area because I don't know how you will take me if you knew that this was going on in my life. So what I will do is when I'm around everyone, I'm just going to show you the areas that I thrive in. I'm not going to allow you to see my weaknesses because if I'm bare and open, then I don't know whether or not you're going to use my weaknesses against me. And because that has been our experiences in life, we have not even allowed Holy Spirit to infect those areas of weaknesses in our lives because we don't have, we have that do not touch sign. Because in order for God to go in, then you have to be willing to be bare and naked. None of us want people to see our nakedness. We don't just want you to see our nakedness. And so the thing, so what we began to do is keep it covered because it's safe. It's safe. But the thing is, when we keep these areas covered, then we never become free. And this is why the dynamics of renovating is so important.
Yeah.
Because in order to really be made new, that means that you have to be able to go in and dig out something. See, because what God, we have already been formed and fashioned. And so, and even like his image, but nevertheless, because we have also had natural parents and these parents have groomed us, and even life, life has begun to groom us. And so because of that, we have become what I would like to call chameleons, right? We know how to fit in certain modes and certain situations. Everything is already a taught behavior. Everything. And so life teaches us, whether we will agree with it or not, life teaches us. Life teach us whether or not we're going to do this or do that. Life teach us, you know, even just as we were began to talk before we started about the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear. Something so simple as going over a bridge, you go into a panic. Something so simple as flying, getting on a boat, all these particular things, that's a spirit of fear. But we fear what we don't know the outcome to. And because we don't necessarily know the outcome, because we have not experienced it, right? We resist it. Even though we know the Father has all the best intentions for our lives. But it's better for me to say, no, don't touch this area yet. This is a place of vulnerability for me. I don't want you to see my nakedness. So you I'm going to thrive in my strengths. No, but God's like, I don't want your strength. Mm-hmm. My strength is made perfect in your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not your strengths. The enemy don't come after our strengths. He come after our weaknesses. And so those are the areas that really need to, that we really need to be made free in. Mm-hmm. We need to be made free in those areas of weaknesses. And so when you think about it, the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me this morning, just concerning the dynamics of knowing truth. Mm-hmm. When you know truth, right? John 8, right? 33. People know mm-hmm. this scripture. Truth yeah. really does make us free. We're freed up when it comes to the dynamics of knowing truth. Mm-hmm. Truth makes me and you free consistently. But here's the thing. We will rather deal with a fact and live in a fact in order knowing truth in order to be made free. Because if I'm made free, that means that I have to come into the knowledge of some truths about myself.
Right.
I remember as God was beginning to just dig so many things up out of me, and he began to allow me to search me. You know, it's this scripture in Psalms that David says, search me, O Lord, and show me my fault. Show me if there's any hidden areas of wickedness in me. And for a season, that was my theme. Lord, search me, O God. Mm-hmm. Show me my hidden faults. Show me those things that are on the inside of me that I don't even see. Mm. Those things that are not even in the forefront of my mind. But yeah. these are things in me that are coming against and resisting you. That was my anthem. Mm-hmm. That was something that I mm-hmm. just meditated on. God, search me. Show me me. You don't have to show me. God forbid that you keep showing me everybody else, and I'm able to speak a word in everybody else's life, and I'm able to do this. But then when it comes to my own life, I can't see those hidden things of dishonesty. Those hidden things. And we will all like to say, well, I'm good. And that's because many of us, if we're honest, we equate our goodness on our giftings, on our works. Just like we're reading right now, and we're going through this book. And he said, stop doing and just be. Many of us don't know how to be. We know how to do. And we're comfortable with doing, but we're uncomfortable with just being. Just be. Be Charmy. Be you. Many of us don't know how to do that. And because we don't know how to do that, we live in a state of lies, of falsehoods. You know, scripture has a lot to say about the Bible. It's a scripture in the Bible that talks about falsehood being our refuge. Powerful scripture, because it talks about how we have made lies and falsehood our refuge. And so we hide behind all these lies, and we hide behind these things that are not going to build the character of God in our lives. And we settle. It's easy for me to live in facts, because truth is going to require something of me. Truth is going to require something from you and I. So it's easy for you and I to stay in the confinements of facts. It's a fact I was molested. That's a fact. It's a fact that I grew up with a mama in a mental ward. That's a fact. It's a fact that I don't have a natural father in my life like he should be. That's a fact. It's a fact that I had a baby at a young age. That's a fact. All of these are facts. Like, I could go on with 1,000 facts, but the truth is that if I really want to be made whole, I can be made whole. It's a fact that I grew up with a grandmama calling me a chimpanzee. That's a fact. All of those are facts. It's a fact that I never understood how to love. I never understood what love was. So I couldn't get my children the love that they so needed because I didn't understand it. Those are facts. But the truth is, Jesus came to redeem me from all of those facts. That's the truth. It's a fact that I grew up in poverty. Facts. It's a fact that I grew up in welfare. Facts. Those are facts. But I don't have to allow facts to be my reality when I know him. The Bible says that when you and I know truth, and you should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, what is truth? Truth is a person. Truth is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He told us that he was the truth. So once I come into the knowledge of Jesus, that tells me that I can be made whole, that I can be free. And I no longer have to live in the confinements of all these facts that are produced in my life. But here's the thing. It's a choice. It's a choice. So at this moment, I either choose to live in the facts of what I grew up in and what I grew up around. It's a fact that everything around me was not good for me. Everything around me did not produce life for me. Those are facts, facts. But the truth is, Jesus is Lord. Jesus died to save me, right? Save. The word save literally means to be savaged, savaged. So when I think about it, I think about a junkyard. Many people won't even know what a junkyard is. But I think about a junkyard, and I think about all those parts and all those pieces that are in a junkyard. All of these pieces of broken wreckages, broken vehicles, all over this junkyard. And that's what we are in the world. We have pieces of junk all over. And we got Jesus, the Savior, saying, I'm going to savage you. I'm going to remove all the debris. Because when you think about a junkyard, you think about all of these pieces that people consider junk. They just consider this junk. And so once they get what they need, they keep throwing stuff on top of the other stuff. But it takes somebody that understands how to create something from nothing, to go in that junkyard and pick up, he or she will remove all the debris to get what they're looking for. And that's simply what God has done with us. He's removed all the debris and said, I see that jewel right there. Let me dig. Let me dig. Let me dig. Let me remove this piece. Let me remove that piece. Let me pull this back. Let me move that. Oh my God. How sweet it is. He has removed all the debris off of you and I. He said, because I see a jewel. I see that diamond in the rough. And a wonderful thing about a diamond, in order for it to be just cut really nice, in order for it to really be authentic, the process that it has to go through, the fire that it has to endure, the heat, my God, that it has to go through in order to be pure. And that's what God wants for us. We're not going through heat for nothing. He wants the purity that's within us to come out of us. He wants to remove all the drafts, all of this. He wants to skim it off. I just can see it so clearly. See, that's the thing when you're making gold and diamonds, it has to go through a refining process. In order for it to be pure cut, the purity is not going to happen without going through fire. And so we got to be willing for God, for Holy Spirit to go in to the depths. This is why David can say, show me my hidden parts. Show me the hidden things of dishonesty within. Show me the things that nobody else sees. And that was my prayer. No, God, search me. Search Charmy. Show me, God. That was my prayer. I want to see me. Facts will keep us in bondage. Why truth is really there to set you and I free. Free. You will know the truth. And the truth, this is what John 8:32 says. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free, will make you free. And the wonderful thing about that word make right there on some terminology set is that it causes you to be exempt. It causes you to be delivered. It causes you to be liberated. The word make right there means to liberate, to be exempt, right? This is really the word for what it really means. It means someone that's unrestrained as a citizen. You're a citizen and not a slave. That's what that word means, that I am a citizen and I'm not a slave. You are exempt. My God, you're a free man and woman. You're at liberty. This is what that word means. And so we really got to understand, because even when Jesus was talking, then you got to go back up right now and you got to even see what was he even talking about to keep the scripture in context. Okay, so I'm going to start at verse 21. It says of John chapter 8. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away and you will look for me and you will die in your sin. We understand that sin means that you would just keep missing the mark. You know, I know many people equate sins to symptoms, but, you know, that's just your little knowledge and your little understanding on how to keep people back. That's just what that is. Sin literally means you will just continue to miss the mark. And he goes on to say, where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. I told you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. You will indeed die in your sins. Again, sin means you will continue to keep missing the mark. But whose mark are you missing? God's mark, the one who created you. You're going to consistently miss the things, the purpose for which God created you for. That's literally what it means. You're going to die in your sin. You're going to die constantly missing the mark of the things that God had ordained for you to do in this life. My God. And they said, well, who are you? They asked. Just what I have been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. He says, I have much to say in judgment of you. He said, but he who sent me is trustworthy. And what I have heard from him, I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his father. So this is why even on yesterday, I talked about the highest calling is to be a son or a daughter. That's the highest calling that you and I can ever understand, is how to be a son and daughter of the Father. It's not the fact that we are an apostle. It's not the fact that we are a prophet, an evangelist, a teacher, or a pastor. No, your highest calling is to be a son or a daughter of the King, of the Father. That's any of our highest calling. I'm telling you, everybody, that you have to be called a bishop. You have to be called an apostle. Yes, people should respect us in our rightful place, but that does not make me. My highest calling is a daughter and a son of a King. Everything else that you just have to call me. To me, come on, somebody. It's an identity crisis. You don't really know who you are. And so you hide behind your title. No, I'm Charmy. Nice to meet you. Oh, well, I'm such and such. Okay. Well, hey, apostle. Hey, prophet. Titles. Just because you call me, they call Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God. He was the greatest person on the earth. And they called him by his name, Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of God. He was a son. He didn't even tell them, my God, that he was actually God in the flesh. He said, I'm a son. Lord, teach us how to be daughters and sons. Let us strip ourselves of these identity crises. And we strive to get titles. And our highest title to be known as a son and a daughter, to know him. Paul said that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering. Come on. It's nothing wrong with desiring to understand these things. It's nothing wrong with that. But when these things make you who you are, you have a problem, sir. You have a problem, ma'am. Something is going on inside of you that needs to be healed. We teach people how to strive to be in a position, and we don't teach them how to strive to be in a position of a son and a daughter. That's crazy. So Jesus goes on to say, he says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, see, he just called himself the Son of Man. Then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And then you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. You will know the truth. And the truth is going to make you free. The truth frees us. Facts will keep us in bondage. Facts will keep us crippled and on crutches. Facts keeps us in our past. When truth is trying to liberate and free us to our future, facts will destroy us. The truth liberates. So many people live in facts and they don't go forward to the truth of who God called them to be. Jesus was speaking to a people that didn't understand truth. He was talking to them about, listen, I know who I am. And only my true disciples hold on to my teachings. His teaching. He was influencing a belief system that they had been eroded in. You understand what I'm saying? It was a belief system that they had been so accustomed to. A belief. They had been accustomed to this belief system. And Jesus came to destroy the web of lies that they believed, because they had made, my God, today, lies their refuge. They literally made lies their refuge. Powerful scripture. Powerful. And listen to what that says. Isaiah 28:15. It says, you both, we have entered into a covenant with death, with the realm of the dead. We have made an argument. When an overwhelming scourge sweeps by, it cannot touch us. For we have made a lie our refuge and falsehood our hiding place. Isaiah 28:15. You know, Isaiah was talking to the people of God just how they have believed false prophecies. They were believing a lie. That literally says that it's possible for us to make a lie our refuge and falsehood our hiding place. That's a deep scripture. He said, you even boast in this. We have entered into a covenant with death, with the realm of the dead. We have made an agreement. And listen to what the New Living Translation say. You boast, we have struck a bargain to cheat death. And we have made a deal to dodge the grave. The coming destruction can never touch us. We have built a strong refuge made of lies and deception. Powerful scripture. But this scripture reminds me on how we embrace facts in our lives. We hold on to facts like they are our final say-so, our final authority. When truth comes in and has come in, if we are believers in Christ, to set you and I free, you should know the truth, and the truth is going to make you free. Again, truth means that he's going to liberate. You're liberated. Powerful scripture. Truth makes free. So God has declared to you and I that as we know truth, we walk in freedom. We walk in liberty. And so we make a decision, you and I, every day, whether or not we're going to stay in the realities of truth or whether or not we're going to continue to embrace the fact. All the facts in our lives, as I said in the beginning, those were all facts that happened to me. Facts. Horrible facts. When I think about even the molestation, I was supposed to be in a safe place. And here's the thing. The man's wife was in the other room. I was literally in the bed with his daughter having a sleepover. And you're fondling me with your hand over my mouth, sucking on my breasts as a little girl. And your wife is in the other room. And then when my daddy finds out, the person that was supposed to be my protector did nothing. They covered it up. Lord forbid. This don't go out of this house. And they sent me to school. And I was supposed to go to school and function. Facts. But the truth is, I got a redeemer. And he redeemed me. He savaged me. He took me out of wreckage. He removed the debris and all the facts that surrounded my life and said, this is the life I have. You can choose to embrace my truth, or you can stay in bondage to your facts. This day, I give you the ability to choose. Now, Charmy, you choose. And that's what God is saying to us today. This day, I give you the ability to choose. I have done a divine exchange. I will give you my truth in exchange for your facts. What are you going to do?